This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. Two U.S. Senate committees issued a joint report Tuesday detailing a number of intelligence and security failures ahead of and during the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. The report called the attack on the Capitol building an attack on democracy and said those responsible for protecting the building complex were not prepared for a large-scale attack, despite, it said, being aware of the potential for violence targeting the Capitol. The Senate Homeland Security and Rules Committees launched their bipartisan investigation in February, hearing testimony from the heads of the U.S. Capitol Police and other law enforcement agencies, as well as current and former officials from the Defense Department and Department of Homeland Security. The committees said they also reviewed thousands of documents and received written statements from 50 U.S. Capitol Police officers. The report went on to say that the intelligence community failed to properly analyze, assess, and disseminate to law enforcement the potential for violence that day. The attack came as lawmakers inside the Capitol were meeting to certify President Joe Biden's election victory. Supporters of former President Donald Trump violently broke through security lines and stormed into the Capitol building. Members of Congress rushed to safety, returning hours later to finish their work only after law enforcement agencies and the National Guard regained control of the complex. The report notes that seven people, including three law enforcement officers, died as a result of the violence. More than 800 suspects have been arrested, 32 tons of drugs seized, and $148 million worth of confiscated, $148 million confiscated in a massive global organized crime investigation, according to law enforcement authorities Tuesday. Operation Trojan Shield involved police raids in 16 countries, in which 250 firearms and 55 luxury cars were also seized. VOA News. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris met Tuesday with Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador in Mexico City. It's part of her continuing effort to curb the surge of migrants to the southwestern U.S. border by bolstering economic conditions in Central America. Harris and López Obrador watched as aides signed a memorandum of understanding to establish a strategic partnership to cooperate on development programs in the Northern Triangle countries of Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras. Tens of thousands of their citizens have left home to trek through Mexico to try to get into the United States in recent months, with more than 178,000 migrants reaching the U.S. border in April, nearly half of them from Central America. Harris, on her first foreign trip as vice president, had a blunt message Monday for Latin American migrants as she visited Guatemala. She said, "Do not come." She said the U.S. was not afraid to enforce its immigration laws and stop people at the border. But U.S. President Joe Biden has allowed unaccompanied migrant children to stay in the United States, unlike former President Donald Trump, who expelled them. Responding to a shouted question from a reporter about whether Mexico was willing to increase its immigration enforcement, López Obrador said he and Harris will be touching on that subject, but as always, addressing the fundamental root causes of the surge in migrants. Also Tuesday, Harris was expected to talk with female entrepreneurs and hold a roundtable with labor workers. The World Meteorological Organization, the United Nations Climate Agency, reported Tuesday that Europe saw its coldest March through May since 2013, with temperatures 0.45 Celsius below the 1991 through 2020 average. During a briefing from the agency's headquarters in Geneva, Switzerland, WMO spokesperson Claire Nullis cautioned that Europe's cool start did not reflect any pause in global warming. UN News reported that temperatures were well above average over western Greenland, North Africa, the Middle East, and northern and western Russia. Meanwhile, they were below average over the southern and central United States, parts of northern Canada, and parts of Africa, India, Russia, and Antarctica. Nullis also said there was a considerable rise in carbon dioxide in the atmosphere at the Mauna Loa Observatory. It's an atmospheric monitoring station operated by the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association in Hawaii. She said the fact that CO2 has a long lifetime in the atmosphere means many future generations will see the impacts of climate change. Nullis warned that rising CO2 levels will also have a very serious impact on the planet's oceans, which absorb almost a quarter of CO2 emissions. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton, VOA News.